visit. And I think we could all say that we've gained from this Shabbos, an amazing Shabbos that has been brought over to part in some of the many of the events of the shiurim, the classes that went on with the great wisdom and inspiration from our Rabbi and Rebbe Segeger. For the last 20 years that the Kotel has been here in the Marian community, we've had a fairly simple, nice event before Shavuos, getting together, bringing in a speaker, an annual lecture. This is the 20th annual lecture. That was before we got the sugar to make it and expand it to a whole weekend. Really having no idea what it would entail. Not to the extent, certainly. I don't think we understood it. I don't think the Rosh Yeshiva and his Rebbetzin knew what they were getting into. But yet they graciously said yes, and they have given their life and efforts to our community. And we're so appreciative of that. 9 years ago, when this community was hit with a very terrible basura, that with the patira of Israel David by Mordechai Yitzchok, Zichronim Livracha, Dr. David Epstein, who was a pillar in our community. Many still know who he was. Many are still very close with the Epstein Mishpacha, who continues to be very close with the Kotel and its families. And for those who, in the last 9 years, have come to participate in the Kotel and its activities, who didn't have the schus to meet Dr. David Epstein, have him as a friend, has him as a confidant, as a doctor, as a chabrusa, so much that you're missing out. We want to take just a few minutes to reflect on this great person, this wonderful neshama, who lived in our midst, who had a tremendous yad, tremendous impact on making the Kotel what it is today. And he's sorely missed from his friends, from the Kotel, from the community, and of course, from his family. So we'd like to ask his son-in-law, Chaim Dov, Rabbi Dov Goldschmidt, Esquire, to please share a few memories of his friend.
My nose got a little wet in the rain outside. Try to get without it. Brishus Sarabanim, Brishus Kolakol Mazet. On behalf of the entire Epstein family, we would like to thank the Kotel and all those that made it possible to dedicate this wonderful lecture, annual lecture, in the honor of my father-in-law, Rabbi Zviel David Bar Mordechai Yitzchok, Zichronim Livracha. Especially this year, with the adding of the Shabbos before the annual lecture, like the Pchina Zekeli Vanbeu, you beautify mitzvahs, adding on to mitzvahs. So the Kotel put their project, their annual project, and added on to it and made it so much more beautiful. Especially with the Rosh Yeshiva, with Naftali Yeager, it's a true honor and it should be a schus for my father-in-law's neshama. I just wanted to share a thought. About my father-in-law, Zichronim Livracha. The Pasuk in Re'eh says, about the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, it says, "Shichna yisidr shu uvas hashama," you should request for the Shechina and you will come there. The Ramban points out that why does it say that you're questing for the Shechina, and explaining those words, he says, "Shetelchu Lo yimei eretz merchakin, you'll come from faraway lands. V'tishalu ono derech beis Hashem, and you'll ask, what is the way to the house of Hashem? And v'toimru ishel re'eu l'chu v'nale l'Hashem. You'll say, one person will say to his friend, let's go up to the mountain of Hashem. So I feel a question is asked, is what it seems like that there is a process of trying to find a way to Yerushalayim. Why is it different than Ari Mikla, the sanctuary cities that were made for those that murdered accidentally, so they didn't get killed by Dazin, they didn't get the death sentence, they were allowed to go to the sanctuary cities called the Ari Mikla. And it says, the Rashi says on a pasuk in Devarim that they prepared a signage for them so they can find the way. Why is it that when the mitzvah of Ari Mikla, there was a specific sign showing them the way, but when it was time to go to the regel three times a year to Yerushalayim, it was not clear, they had to figure it out every time. So I saw Reb Shmuel Yankov Bornstein, who's one of the great Rosh Hashivas who passed, of this generation who passed recently, he explains the following way. He brings down the Gemara Chagiga that says, Darash Rava, Mai Dechsiv, Mayofu Pa Mayech Bas Nadiv. It says in Shir Hashirim, how beautiful are your steps, Bas Nadiv, which is referring to Klai Yisrael. It says, Kamanoin Raglein Shal Yisrael B'shosh O'ilin Regel. How beautiful are the steps of Klai Yisrael at the time when they go up for the Alila Regel. And explains that possibly what the pasuk here, what the Gemara is trying to tell us, is that it's not only the result of being coming to Yerushalayim and coming to Beis HaMikdash and doing the mitzvah of Alila Regel, but the walking up to Yerushalayim, the searching, the questing, the Shichna Tidrushu, trying to figure out where is the Derech Beis Hashem, how do you get there, talking Ish L'Re'eu, that is part of the mitzvah. You read down the Ritzvah and Sukkah that says that the Alila Regel is not just a Hefsher mitzvah. Going up to the regal is not just a means to an end of the mitzvah of being by the regal, but it's the mitzvah itself, and it has the halachic ramifications. So he takes it and he says that possibly it's a metaphor for a Jew's journey in his quest for growth, that even the hardships and the growth process itself is not just a means to an end, but it's actually something that should be praised. And it's Vayofu Pamayach, how beautiful are your steps. So I was thinking, it's a responsibility to speak about my father-in-law. I realized, with the perspective of the time, that I didn't know him for so long, and that I didn't know him as well as others did, but I had a very close relationship with him, and I learned some lessons. One of the lessons that I learned from him, something that I benefited from personally and others did as well, was his ability to prepare for a chana. He was always preparing for the next step, whether it was a chavrusa in the morning, whether it was a shir, whether it was preparing for anything he did, even things not having to do with learning. He always tried to prepare, he tried to come prepared. But that, what does that come from? That comes from appreciating the process, appreciating the Mayofu Pamaya, the steps that it takes, the growth process. And in order to ask the question, Ana Derech Beis Hashem, in order to ask what is the way to the house of Hashem, you first have to have the clarity what direction you're going to. And that's the first thing that my father-in-law had. He had a clarity of where he was headed to, where he wanted to go. And that's what it allowed him the ability to ask, what is the way to Derech Beis Hashem? Started earlier in his life, and he kept on asking and asking and getting closer and closer to Har Hashem. This ability to prepare came from a deep appreciation of the process of what it takes to get somewhere, and he always took an interest in others, in the process, and in the every person's individual journey of how he gets to where he needs to get. And I personally felt like he always took an interest when we were first married and I was learning. What are you learning? Where are you learning? Who are you learning with? what is going well, what is not going well. He was interested in your successes as much as he was interested in things that were not going so well. And that came from a deep appreciation for every individual. So possibly that's why it says, "Vatoimer ish el re'ehu." What is the use of the lashon re'ehu, of one's friend? Because when a person has an appreciation for the process, for the steps that it takes to get somewhere, you become a re'a, you become a friend, because you appreciate the person for who he is before he achieves the goals that he sets out to achieve. In his journey to build his base Hashem, he also helped in this community. His leadership style, from what I understand, was also a leadership style of a Toimu Ish Lo Re'eh. It was together with others. It was saying, let's join our resources, let's do something special, let's try to build a Beis Hashem in our community. And that's something else that he built. Me personally, he provided me with a bias, Beis HaZu Ishtai, the house of a person that means it refers to a wife, it says by the Kohen Gadol. But he also, I remember this past summer, my father, Yibadol Chaim Tovim Marukim, was visiting here in Philadelphia, and he was talking at the Kohel, and he thanked the Kohel. He mentioned my father-in-law, and saying that the Kohel is a spiritual home for myself. And I know that it's not just a spiritual home for me, it's a spiritual home for many of us who are here. It's a place where you can grow in Torah and Yiras Shamayim, and it creates a platform to grow on and on. My father-in-law always took a tremendous pride in the Kohel. I remember it was before the Kohel grew to what it is today, but he would say, every time after we leave the Kohel, Reb Chil and Reb Eladavid, it's such a wonderful thing. They do such an amazing thing together. And it's this ability to prepare. The Lashon of Achana, preparing, is also the same church, but L'Choydin, to establish, to dedicate. To establish, it's preparing, but it's also building. Perhaps my father-in-law always prepared well, and on his last journey, he also prepared, and he prepared together with others. The Toimu Ish Lo Re'eh, he took other people on his journey in preparing for his final journey to leave this world. May we be zayche to learn from my father-in-law in this aspect, and to be able to ask Ana Derech Beis Hashem, and to say Ish Lo Re'ehu L'chu V'Na'aleh El Har Hashem.
Am I supposed to read all these names? No. Just thank you to the sponsors. We thank our sponsors of this Shabbos, of this lecture. I met a woman a few minutes ago who told me this was her best Shabbos that she's ever had. Amazing. An amazing Shabbos, it truly was. A lot of work went into it, and I had an opportunity at a smaller gathering to thank those who put in a tremendous amount of effort, but want to publicly thank them again. And that is, of course, Rabbi and Mr. Zephyrin. In general, the whole year, they're always doing things for the Kohel, but particularly in these last few weeks, there was so much to just encompass in terms of what had to be done, what had to be taken care of, and it was just amazing. You know, just working together with Rubiel in the office and the back and forth of all the emails and the text, and It was done really without any stress, without any complaint. It was an amazing experience, particularly because there was so much to do. And we had great Siyata Dishmaya. I must say, we had great Siyata Dishmaya in having this go so smoothly. As well, Rabbi Yosef from Ipropis, in his quiet and magical way, was able to just pull so many things together, create so many different events. And shiurim, and getting volunteers, and getting houses, and the whole host of details that were under his purview. And grace Yashapach for him, and as always, it's wonderful to have him as part of the administrative team. Yashapach to Sandy, our president, Sandy and Margie Brook, for dedicating the Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, the sponsors are too numerous to mention. So we thank you all, and the fact that you have been machzik the Torah, which is an Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim mi l'machzik yabo. You are machzik the Torah. But really what happens is that you go grab onto one of the branches of the Torah. And in essence, you're really holding on to the tree of life. Looks like you're supporting it. You're really holding it like this, and it's supporting you. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you all. You should continue supporting the Kol, make the Resh Kol's job easier, and bring the Birchas HaTorah to your mishpachas. A special thank you to my Rebbetzin, Mrs. Rachel Bieberfeld. For everything that she has done for this event and throughout the years for this Kol. I had a little speech prepared for the occasion before Shavuos, but it's late. I want to give Rosh Yeshiva enough time to address the audience, so just let me introduce Rosh Yeshiva for his final drasha of this journey of a weekend. What I believe inspired me the most over this whole Shabbos, and really getting to meet such illustrious people as Rosh Yeshiva and his Rebbetzin, is one thing. And the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Nedarim tells us, that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ashri Shechina El Al Adam Hu Zeh Chacham, a Gibor, an Oshir, and an Anam. Hashem doesn't imbue in his Ma'ashri for the way that Rav Elazar learns the Gemara that we're talking about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give his Torah, his wisdom, his Shechina that represents the Torah to a person, unless the person is a Chacham, he has to be wise, a Gibor, he has to be strong, mighty, he has to be Oshir, a wealthy man, and an Ono, he has to be a humble individual. And the Kulam Moshe, we learned this out from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Chacham, Moshe was a Gibor, lifted up the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy, and he was the Adam Mikolam, Anav Mikolam. He was the ultimate humble person. So Chaim Elazar says, well, it has to be. If you want to get Torah, you have to be rich. You have to be strong. In order to get the Shechina, in order to have Torah, so Chaim Elazar says, no, we're talking about a person who really has tremendous talent, has Gevura. As Gevura that could go on speech after speech, class after class, meeting one person after the next, and almost not become fatigued. And throughout how many hours? It's about 72 hours. The Rosh Hashiva and his Rebbetzin have met people, have connected with people. And it's almost without exhaustion. Gvura. The Chokhmah goes without saying, anyone who has heard them talk, you see tremendous Chokhmah that they possess. And Ashiras, people are so calm and so content and so Sameach Bechelkom. And those type of people who can top it all off with such humility, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, those are the people I'm going to give tremendous amount of Chokhmah and Torah to. And it's no wonder that the Rosh Hashimah's Rebbetzin are like a Mayanam is gathered with their Torah, Liyah and Hora, Kadosh Baruch Hu should continue to give them the Shefer Rav. But it's because of the humility, it's unbelievable. The Rosh Hashimah was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and the humility he has, I've been feeling uncomfortable over Shabbos. The amount of cover that he gives to the Bnei Torah is remarkable. And that's certainly a great lesson that I believe we can take away from this Shabbos. I'd like to just present, if I may, a small gift. Which expresses the Chavrei HaKol, the Beis Ephraim of Akrubis and myself, the Matanum, the Sinasuna, the Ravagrim, the Nataliyegim, the Rayos, the Rabbanet Lita. Lois Akuras Ateva Lais Masras Belev Nefesh, the Shiurim Droshas Dibre Chizik Beidud, Eitzel Ach Shabbos Shal Chizik, Shabbos Parsh Bukhukais, the Bekelis Philadelphia, it's Meunka de Libani, from us and the Chavrei HaKol, Yashikayah. Without further ado, Rav Naftali Yeager.
There's one omission that the Reish Kreil made, and I think everybody has to agree. That's the Reish Kaila with his Rebbetzin. Well, I can't say I am, myself and the Rebbetzin are so moved, not just by the people here, by everyone involved at Chavrei HaKol, but the Rav and the Rebbetzin, their leadership is what made this community into what it is today. So I think if anyone deserves a standing ovation, not to stand up, I don't know what that means, it's the Rav and the Rebbetzin. Really very special. I can't tell you what this Shabbos, we never thought it would be like this. You know, everybody tells you, you gave so many shiurim today. I give every Sunday more shiurim than I gave today. But this was intense because it's the meeting of people, the seeing the glow of learning Torah. And I want to thank Rabbi Yael Zephyr and his Rebbetzin, Rabbi Yosef Kupis and his Rebbetzin for really the special work that they do. And of course, the president and I will speak about today, tonight's gathering, who it's for. But I think it's a Dr. David Weiss, I wasn't sure if it was a doctor, yesterday mentioned to me the morale, you know, I'm not going to translate tonight. What I'm going to do is not say the Hebrew words. This way I can get much easier. I don't have to say the Hebrew words and translate it. I was told to translate everything. I will not translate unless it comes off automatically. I will try not to because I think this way we'll be able to understand it much be a greater flow. The morale asks that why does what the Kreil is learning now, Tractate Shabbos, why does it start with the prohibition of Haitzah? Of taking some, I don't know if you have an Erev in this community, but you know when there's no Erev, you're not allowed to take out to a public domain or public domain to a private domain. Why is that the first thing Maseches Shabbos is about? So the Maral answers because that's the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yom Tov basically, not all the time, but basically you're allowed to go ahead and take things into a public domain from a private domain and vice versa. Shabbos, you can't. That's the outstanding feature of Shabbos itself. The outstanding feature that we have seen, besides the beautiful Torah that's given to the Kohen, besides the beautiful learning, everything, I have never experienced such, and this I'm going to have to say in Hebrew, and my Rebbe is going to have to teach me how to write the word, an ayin toiva, an expansive eye. People just come over and say, thank you, you don't know what it meant to me. I myself, my Rebbe has gotten so much chizuk from that itself. It has to come from the top. When you see hakaras hatov, when you see recognition of good and understanding, you notice that the Rav said, one woman said, it was the greatest Shabbos of her life. I didn't hear any men yet say it, but the Rebbetzin is very special, that I know. I'm usually, when she speaks, once in a while I go along with her, and then they have to use me, but this is not my modality, I have to say. I speak the Bachum in Yeshiva. So I want to first say that, you know, Rabbi Goldschmidt said so beautifully, you know, he spoke about Dr. Epstein. Perhaps tonight I've been staying at Mrs. Epstein's Zanger Zonta, we pieced together what kind of home this was. You see it's a home of Torah, of Yerushalayim, you see it with the children, you see what's there. I even brought, I forgot, I told you to bring the Rambam, but I brought his Rambam, I guess it worked out. It was Maimonides, that this is his sefer. I wanted to read something from it, but again, I'll just say. So, you know, as we were coming in, you know, when I take off my watch, there's no way, don't go over time. As we were coming in, we noticed a big university here. I don't remember the name of the university, but it's a huge campus here. Somewhere
St. Joe's.
What's that?
St. Joe's.
Oh, Saint, okay. St. Joe's. And St. Joe's, you know, okay, fine. St. Joe's, huge campus. Huge campus. Now, the Rev was, someone was telling me that the Resh Kel was in Far Rockaway recently, a Lawrence, to solicit funds. Nobody ever came from St. Joe's to solicit funds. No one ever came. I don't think they ever come to that. And the question a Rosh Hashiva once posed, and this was Rabbi Goldschmidt, I was going to say that once he mentioned it, posed to the Chazon Ish, why is it that we Rosh Hashivas, Rosh Kredlin, have to run around, have to go and ask people to help support? And yet universities don't have to. These situations, I don't know exactly how they raise the funds, I'm sure there's a fundraiser. So Chazon Ish said exactly the question that Rabbi Goldschmidt said. He said, to the Beis HaMikdash, there are no signs how to go to the Beis HaMikdash. But when you go to the cities of refuge, cities that a person killed unintentionally, so there were clear signs how to get there. So the Chazon Ish told him, you know why, what the answer is? He says, imagine a person is going, and all of a sudden, what happens? He's lost, he doesn't know where to go. This is before the Waze, right? Before GPS. So he has to knock on someone's house. He says, oh, come in, yes. Coming in, let's come in. What brings a Jew here? I'm on the way, we're on the way. You know, we're there to the cities of refuge. I happen to be a murderer. Okay, not an intentional murderer. He says, okay, now let me just give you a drink. Get out, go there, go there. He says, the kids, just stay in the bedroom, don't get out of there. He says, but when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you get lost. And you tell, where are you going? I'm going to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to the Kohel, I'm going to Yeshiva. So all of a sudden, you come in, and he said, where are you going? Beis HaMikdash, right? You've been to the Beis HaMikdash. I want you to meet my children. I want my children to know. When a Resh Kohel comes into your house, it's the greatest chus you can have. Your children, you should bring out all your children to meet. He just showed me the Resh Kohel, this firm that he wrote, Ashreichem, I don't know why I'm here. I really don't know. Yeah, a Resh Kohel that could, if he could wrote Vadim of Zangazot and Mashkiach of Lakewood, he should be the one who's speaking. It's such a schuss to have in your house. But we all have to know we want to help. This is a special Kohel. The Kohel's so small, St. Joe's is so much bigger. But how much light comes out from this Kohel? The Banshah should help the Resh Kohel to really give you Mabit's Torah, Admei Resh Kohel to see Nachas, Bonim Ubnei Bonim, Oiskim B'Torah B'Mitzvahs, and we have children that are Emes Dika B'Nei Torah, grandchildren of Mitzvah Shem, to have all Nachas. Rabbi Goldschmidt mentioned that his Shver, Zechon Levracha, Dr. Epstein, was a person very involved with Chinuch, with Achon, sorry. with Rachamim. And my notes didn't get wet, but they might get from the tears of just being here. I don't really need the notes, it's basically the English words that I have to write to remind myself what the English words are, right? Because I usually speak and I forget to translate. This is just always, please make sure you translate this word. But, you know, when the nation of Israel came to the desert, the Sinai, so what happened over there? It says over there that they came, B'chodesh HaShlishi, the third month, this I have to say in Hebrew, B'yom HaZeh, on this day, Bo Midbar Sinai. On this day they came to Midbar Sinai. And Rashi quotes the Chazal, it shouldn't have said on this day, on that day. It's a historic occasion that happened a few thousand years ago. So why does it say on this day? It should have said on that day. B'yom Ahu, not B'yom HaZeh. And Rashi says, Rashi quotes the Chazal, that it means that Shiyu be'einecha kechadosh, should be you to you as new every year as the day you receive the Torah. In other words, Rashi's telling us we're not just getting together because we're going to enjoy cheesecake or cheesequake, I don't know what they call it, right? On Shavuos, it's not just about having a nice Yom Tov, which it is, it's what about, but it's to remember we are going through the process of changing our lives again, of starting all over again, of being mekabel, accepting the Torah. Accepting the Torah again. That's what we're doing now. So every year we have to go through that process. But the question is, it's not talking about Shavuos. The Pasuk is not talking about the holiday of Shavuos, the Yom of Shavuos, of Kabbalah Sefer, receiving the Torah. It's talking about a week, 6 days, 7 days before Rosh Chodesh, which was almost a week or a week before they received the Torah. Why does it talk about Rosh Chodesh? They received the Torah on Vav or Zion, 6th or 7th of Sivan. So our Rabbi Sar Hussein taught us that you don't fall into Shavuos, you prepare for Shavuos. And that's why we're here tonight, that's why we've been here, that's why Mishra Mekor will help you know. In Amos, it says, again, I'll say it in English, it says that there's going to be coming a tremendous famine, a tremendous ravenous famine. The Medrash tells us one of the 10 greatest famines that there are in the world, the 10th and final one. What is that? A day is that there will be a tremendous thirst, not for water, a hunger, not for bread, not for food. Rather to hear the words of Hashem. Many of you probably know the Niggin. Hinei yamim ba'im, Yishlachti rav ba'aretz, and so forth. We sing it. Most of us don't realize the end of the pasuk. It says they'll go from north to east, from west to south, and they won't find a way of quenching this thirst or satiating their hunger. Why not? If they're looking for it. So the Baal Shem Tov used to say, you know why? Because in the Torah it says, you want to look for God, Metzasa, you'll find Misham over there, over here, right there, El Hashem Elokecha. You don't have to go to India to find spirituality. You don't have to climb a mountain in Nepal to go and find spirituality. It's here, it's right here. Right here in Bala Kinwood, right here in your Kailu, right here in your homes, in your Bata Midrashim, in the shuls that I hear, all the wonderful shuls that I unfortunately didn't get to see, but what I hear, each one talks about the shuls, how wonderful they are. Misham, you find it right there. So that's the preparation we have to do right now, to go into Shavuos, to see what we can do in order to accept the Torah. What is it that we have to do? What is it that we have to do? There's a few things that I humbly suggest, and just because Chazal tell us this, it's not a thing I would say on my own. I would never tell you do this or do that. First of all, I don't know you. Secondly, I'm not a prophet, I'm not someone who knows enough to know what should be done, what should not be done. No, each one of us knows what we could do. But let's understand what Chazal said. And it says in the Sechas Derech Eretz, that when the Jews came to Sinai, the Rabbi Yishon said, oh, they're not fighting with each other. They're making peace with each other. Shalom. Shalom just doesn't mean you leave me alone and I leave you alone. Oseh shalom b'mermo. I think everybody knows that at least, right? Oseh shalom. You have to work on having shalom. It's something, we have different opinions, we have different views, we have different shittas, but we work together, shleimus, to make a whole. Once the Rebbeinu Shlom saw that Klal Yisrael came without dispute, with seeking peace, and came together, he says, it now is time to give the Torah. The time to give the Torah has come, because there's the togetherness. The sing on Shabbos, Uvod kulam bevritz yachad, na'ase v'nishma amu ke'echa. They said, na'ase v'nishma, those of us know it means, we will do and we will hear. Something unusual. As I always say, there's only one person, when a person asks you a favor and they say, can you do something for me? So usually you answer, what is it? But to your wife you say, of course, there's nothing to talk about, right, David? Right? There's nothing to talk about. Klal Yisrael said, we're ready to do God's will no matter what. Something that only the angels, terrestrial beings do. Na'aseh v'nishma, they said together. Where does it say they said it together? How do we know they said it together? Because it says na'aseh v'nishma, which means we will do. It doesn't say Esa, I will do. And this is a question that the Rebbe Rabbunim of Chisa posed. Why is it that they were able to say Na'aseh v'nishma? Imagine coming here now, and all of a sudden, who would like a piece of pizza, cheesecake, or whatever they're serving? And everybody would get up, yes, we do. How do you know? Maybe this person doesn't like it. Maybe this person's allergic. How do you know? How do they say Na'aseh v'nishma? How do you know what's in the other person's heart? How do they know? Na'aseh v'nishma. Says the Rebbe Bunim, let's use a marshal, an allegory. 10 people in a dungeon, not an American dungeon, the real dungeon that used to be, that they used to put us in, Nebuch. There are 10 people there, they didn't give them food for a day, 2 days, 3 days. Right? All of a sudden the warden or the Rebbe, the superintendent comes in and says, who would like something to eat and drink? No one's going to get up and say, I'd like, I don't know about the other 9 fellows, but I know I'd like. They're going to say, right, we want, each one's going to say, we want, because that's all they've been talking about. That's been on their minds, that's what we've been discussing, and Baruch Hashem, this is what's been talking about in this community. Torah, Torah, and more Torah. That's what it means, Na'aseh v'nishma. They wanted it, they wanted the Torah, that's all the Baruch Hashem put into their minds. He gave them, as it says in the Shem D'Arizal, the night of Pesach, a little glimpse, a little glimpse. You ever wonder why you drink so much wine on Pesach? Unfortunately, we don't know how to drink wine. But some people do. It opens up their mind, and it gives them clarity. Very few people, but some people know how to do that. And they went ahead, and they were able to see the night of Pesach, what Torah is about. They didn't know what Torah is about. Right? Just like we, right? Like telling a blind person colors, there's no way he can perceive it. But they were given some kind of understanding, what's called moichin the godless, an expansion of the mind, where they were able to understand what the Torah is. And they got a glimpse of it for one night. That's why they didn't count the Sefirah the first night. There was no counting it. They didn't know what the Torah is. First you have to know what the Torah is. First you have to know what it is. That was the night of Pesach. And now that we have Pesach, and we're prepared, we know we're going to receive the Torah. Like Moshe Rabbeinu told us, in 49 more days, they started counting with such enthusiasm, with such yearning, such desire to receive the Torah. He said, then, they were, that's what they were working for. It's Na'aseh v'nishma, they said it, but they were together. And that's the first thing. And Ashreichem, you're together here. It's such a beautiful community, a community that's together, a community that's one thing that you all share together, that's learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, Yirah Shemayim. It's beautiful, really beautiful. This is what it's about. That's the first achana that we have to do. You know, in this Shabbos, I think Goldschmidt mentioned, you have a Shabbos, I guess that's what he's referring to, this coming Shabbos. So you have a Shabbos before Shavuos. Now, as you know, the Shabbos before Pesach, you call it Shabbos HaGodol, different reasons, we daf Torah about the Shabbos, the the large Shabbos, the big Shabbos, expansive Shabbos, Shabbos Shuva, right? The Shabbos into Shuva. There are communities that call, I think by the Sfardim, they'll correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I've heard, that they call this Shabbos Kala. Shabbos Kala. It says in our Medrash in Chazal that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam came, Moshe Rabbeinu came to the nation, Klal Yisrael, the children of Israel, and he said, "Wake up from your sleep, the Chosson is here. He wants to give you the Torah to marry you." And so, I think in certain communities, they even read a nusach of a ketubah, a marriage document, the tnayim and the ketubah, which are documents that are written before the marriage, for the marriage, that they read it between God and his nation. But then there are people who call it Shabbos Derech Eretz. And I think we could all figure out Derech Eretz means the way of the land, basically meaning the way a person is in midos, his characteristic traits. And the reason is, Chaim Vital tells us, the mitzvah of being good, of being kind, and having midos, not to get angry. Don't say anywhere in the Torah you can't get angry, but you can't get angry. All the midos that there are, Chaim Vital says, that it's the basis of being a Jew, of how to go ahead and accept the Torah. So Derech Eretz, if all of you have heard the expression, Derech Eretz Kodma the Torah. A person's characteristics has to preface before he receives the Torah. A person, as some of you, your parents and grandparents might have said, you have to be a mensch first. You have to have the right characteristic traits. And that's what we work on in these days. We work on all kinds of midas in order to accept the Torah. And when we do that, we remove the barriers one from the other. Then my ego is not in the way. My arrogance is not the way, and therefore I'm able to connect to another Jew. And when you connect to another Jew, you're able to accept the Torah. That's one beautiful achana that we could do. There's a very interesting, unusual halacha on Sukkah, on Derech Shavuos, it says. Other Yom Tovim, other holidays, there's an opinion in the Gemara that one doesn't have to eat necessarily. One can go ahead and involve himself with learning, with praying, with davening the whole day. But the Gemara, it's a dispute in the Gemara. But the Gemara says, Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees, Be'atzeres, Be'inen, Nami Lachem. That on Shavuos, one has to eat on Shavuos. One has to partake of drink, one has to partake of good food, one has to make a festive meal, unusual. If you would ask us, myself, I'd say, you know, this is a perfect day to be in a way of abstinence, in a way of fasting. This be involved with Torah, be involved with doing good deeds, to be involved with mitzvahs. Chazal are telling us, go ahead and eat that day. Go ahead and eat. So you know what? I will use Dr. Epstein's Rambam. I see the Rambam here. I forgot that I told Yana we need this, and I see some notes here. So you should take the notes over here that he has. Interesting. But the Rambam at the end. Okay. I didn't realize I took the wrong volume. So at least I had to Swiss of find him some notes. The Rambam at the end of Hilchas Lulav, right, taking a palm branch on Sukkot. So we know that's called Zman Simcha Seinu. The Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, again I'll leave every word out and just translate it. The Rambam says, the Simcha, the joy, the tremendous joy, Shiyismach Adam, that a person rejoices in doing mitzvahs and loving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is a tremendous avodah, a service to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And Rambam goes into how a person has to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with simcha, with joy, with happiness. that no matter what the situation is, he is zoicha, he, she merits to do God's will. The Maggid Mishnah there, the commentator of the Rambam, says over there that a person has to realize that a person is not doing a mitzvah just because it's a choiv, it's an obligation, of course it is. But a person has to realize that he has to do it because he's doing the ultimate good. He has to realize this is the ultimate good. This is really good. This is the ultimate good. The Rambam, together with the Maggid Mishnah, are telling us when we do mitzvahs, it's not just we're doing something in order to fulfill an obligation, because there's a reality called an obligation. We pay taxes. We do other things, lahavdil. So we have to do this too. True, it's an obligation. But is it the best? No. If I had my way, taxes would be not that way, right? You can run the country, get the people on top to pay more, and we have to pay less, some people say, right? That's like the people say, why should we pay so much? Let the people pay, let them pay that much. I know this is an old fight, right? But whatever it is, the government does it. We have no choice. They don't make us write the rules. Over here, we have to realize this is the ultimate good. This is what allows us to live. When we receive the Torah, you know what happened? And our sages tell us, that day, a bird didn't chirp, a cow didn't moo, a donkey didn't bray, I guess, is that right, the right word? And so forth, even the angels didn't move, the sea didn't roar, everything stopped. Everything stopped, and one thing came out. There was one voice in the universe. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The beginning of Torah, as the Gemara says in Hoyvius. This is the beginning of Torah. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Let's first translate that, we have to say. Anoichi, I am Hashem, the God, your Lord. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. It became a new world order. The world changed overnight. You ever wonder, you see, there's a beautiful minig that they have that we bring into our shuls. I don't know if all the shuls do it. I know yeshivas usually don't do it because they follow the Vilna Goyim. They bring trees and grass into the shul. I don't know if the shuls do it here. That's a minig that they do. That's the minig. Why is that? Where's the minig stem from? Where's it come from? Because when we received the Torah in Sinai, we received in the wilderness. I remember as a child or a teenager going in the wilderness, certain desert. I don't remember any grass growing in the desert. I don't think any of you saw grass in the desert, right? I don't think so, right? Probably many of you have traveled the world. I've not seen it. And it says the animals should not graze near Har Sinai. Something happened there. What happened? Grass started growing. So to remember that, we go ahead and we put grass. Well, our meaning is to bring flowers, but the real source of the custom is because of what happened in Sinai. Now, there were other things that happened over there. What happened over there also was there was thunder, there was lightning, there was the sound of the shofar, there was all kinds of things. We don't do anything for that. Okay, I don't know how we're going to bring lightning, but we could do things to remember, to blow a shofar, whatever it is. Okay, we don't blow a shofar, usually on a Yom Tov. But why is this so important to commemorate the grass? The answer is because that grass grew in the wilderness means the world had a turnover. The world had a change. Something that never happened before. Something that was never seen before. A new world. A world that was before Anoichi Hashem Elokecha and after Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. And what is that? What is it that changed? The word Anoichi, let me share with you a Gemara. Anoichi, I. There's Ani and Anoichi, and the Rebbetzin said I shouldn't go into that, but Anoichi, I am the Lord. I, there's Ani, there's Anoichi, different reasons why you use it, but Anoichi. So the Gemara says from here we learn out a menemanic, that there are certain words that are menemanic, meaning the word Anoichi, let's just put in our minds, Aleph, Nun, Chof, Yud. Aleph Nun Chaf Yud. Anoichi is Aleph Ana, I, Nafshoi, my essence, my being, my nefesh, my soul. Ksavis, I wrote. Yahavis, I gave. Prashat Shana means I wrote the commandments on the luchas, on the tablets, right? That was supposed to be on our hearts, but we never received them. I myself wrote it. In many Sfarim it says it's much more than that. Ano nafshoi ksavis yahavis. I gave over my very essence. The Rebbeinu Shem Aruva gave over himself. Thursday night we were discussing, I tell you, Rabbi Krupis, I'm so amazed that the group that he has over there, it's unbelievable. They asked me such good questions as I was speaking. They said such good insights. So we were talking about how God blew into the nostrils of Adam, of Adam HaRishon, primordial man, how he blew into him a neshama. Do we all know what neshama is? It's a soul, right? And what did he do? He blew it into him. So I told them, the Ramban, that when you blow into a balloon, what makes the balloon blow up? David, remember what we said?
The person.
The person itself, the air that comes out of you. So when God blew into us, neshama, that means he gave part of himself into us. And then whatever happened, the chait of Adam Rishon, we don't go, we went ahead and rectified that, and the Rebbeinu Shloim gave part of himself into us again through one thing, and that's the Torah. Ano nafshoi ksavis yahavis. In the Torah, every time you open up a Gemara, you come to the Koilu, you learn with a Chavra Koilu, you come to a Shir, a woman listens to an authentic Torah Shir. She learns with a friend, Chofetz Chaim. She learns with the Sisram. Now you have the Rosh Koilu's Matnas Chalka and the Mesil Sisram. You should learn. Women can learn that too, I imagine, right? You're learning, the Rebbeinu Shlom is speaking to us. When you put on tefillin, when you put on tefillin, tefillin is mekasha you to the Rebbeinu Shlom. You know, there was a story with the Vilna Goyim. The Vilna Goyim was once traveling, and he stopped by an inn. I remember what used to be called a kretschmer. An inn didn't mean a beautiful five-star hotel. It meant a place where you found a bed, and you ate something there, if there was, and the horses rested for a little while before they went on. And they had to stay overnight. And the Vilna Goyim said, okay, tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, I'm good, I wasn't there, there's a minyan, right? 6 o'clock tomorrow, you have to daven. And they said, no, Rebellion, you can't daven here. The owner of this is such an anti-Semite, he will never allow you to pray here. Every time Jews come here, they try to make a minyan, he breaks it up. He says, tomorrow we're davening at 6 o'clock. They get up, they make a minyan, they put on their tefillin, and they're davening there, and the anti-Semitic person comes in, and he starts screaming, and the Vilna Goyim turns around, and he faints, and he runs away. He said, what happened? He said, very pashut, very simple. The Gemara says that when you wear tefillin, right? All the nations of the world will see the name of God is on you. Right? What does it represent? What does that mean? Tefillin, Elim, Tefillin, Shabarish, these are the tefillin in the head. They saw that and they got scared. So I said, wait a minute. People have been doing davening here many years, it never happened. Why is it that they were scared of you? So the Vilna Goyim says, there's a big difference. You put on tefillin on your head. The Gemara says, tefillin Shabarish in the head. It has an effect on me. You know, there's a current, it's called an electrical current, right? You plug in something, it has an effect on, there's a current of electricity going. That's what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs go ahead and do something to the person. Ana nafshak sabis yahavis. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave us the Torah, he wrote. He gave us the Torah. Through the Torah, through learning the Torah, we are making ourselves a connection to the Rebbeinu Shlom. There's no greater connection. This is what happened on Vav Sivan, on Zion Sivan, on this very same day that we're going into, that we're preparing ourselves for. You know, many times a person goes through difficulties. There's difficulties, if I may just... Very, difficult situations in life, especially in Ruchnius. I know many of the people here have, you know, really made great changes in their life, tremendous changes, unbelievable moves in life. So the Rebbetzin and I are in awe of it. We're almost in awe. We're in awe of such people. The Rebbetzin grew up with it. She saw it by our distinguished father. He, even though he didn't, you know, have a, what's called a Baal Tshuva Yeshiva, it's not true, it's a yeshiva, for boys that needed more personal attention, but he couldn't turn away anyone. His son-in-law has changed that. I can't deal with so many people. But he was able to do it. He was able to do it. And it's a struggle. It's not an overnight process. It doesn't come overnight. You know what? Even us, right? What I call FFBs, right? Do we struggle with it too? There's a struggle. There's always a Ruchnistic struggle. There's a, you know, it's difficult. It's hard. I want to learn with you a Gemara that I think will really help. That just to know the Gemara, it's not an insight, it's just the Gemara, to see who we come from, to understand. The Gemara says like this, we'll just explain the background of this Gemara, the halachic background, the purpose was happened to be mentioned in Shabbat, that's what came to my mind, that there's a Gemara that says, that didn't, we don't need a Gemara, but we know if you steal, you're not allowed to steal, that's the first thing, you're not allowed to steal. If you steal, you have to give back. Torah says so. It's a mitzvah. You have to do it, right? But if you went ahead and the person stole, let's say, wood, and he built a home from it, so Chazal were, the sages were afraid that people who did such things would never rectify their acts. When they find out, you know, you have to give back the wood, so they would say, well, boy, I'm going to take apart my whole house? I'm afraid. They might not do tshuva. So they said, okay, give money instead of that. You don't have to take apart your house. It's takana samarish in the Gemara, it's called. And the Gemara relates a story about that. What's that? The head of the rabbinical court in Golis, in the diaspora, it seems he had some attendants that were there, and they had stolen some wood. And this old lady came, I don't know what old means exactly, and he stopped her, so what happened? And she came there, and she said to him, and he stopped her, that came, he says, the rabbis with this, all the people with him are sitting in a stolen sukkah. You went ahead, you built this nice edifice of a sukkah, it's with my wood, I want my wood back, I like my wood, I don't know. She had some kind of emotional attachment to the wood, she didn't want to take money. So Rav Nachman, who's the head rabbi there, says, I'm sorry, you didn't listen, pay attention. So listen to what she said to him. She said, you're not listening to me? It, a woman, Itzitza, the Hevelei La'abua, that her grandfather, she was a descendant of someone who had 318 slaves, is yelling in front of you and you're not paying attention to her? Who is this grandfather that had 318 slaves? Does anybody can figure out who that means? You know what it is? Avram Avinu. That's what Rashi says. Avram Avinu, when he fought against the kings, when there was a big civil war going on, he took 318 people, the Gemara says, to fight, the Torah says, to fight. 318 people, exactly. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us 318. That was his army. And Rashi comments in Gemara, it doesn't mean 318, it means Eliezer. Eliezer was the trusty servant, the taskmaster of Avram's household. If you take the word Eliezer and you take its gematrias, everybody knows the Hebrew alphabet, every letter represents a certain numerical value, and you add up Eliezer, Chushbana Dedein ke Chushbana Dedein. It's exactly 318. So she said to him, you're starting up with me, my grandfather, means all of us, all of us. My shrei was once by the Satmar Rav, and the Satmar Rav used to give a tremendous amount of money to Tzedakah. But as we all know, he had opinions that were not from other Gedolim had the same, yeah, about Zionism. And when people came in, my shrei used to come, ask him for Pe'ilim, he used to yell at my shrei, but give him a beautiful check. It was an unbelievable Ayah Yisrael. One Jew came in, they didn't realize the reaction, he started yelling at him. So he said, Rebbe, what do you want from me? I'm also a descendant of Avraham Avinu. He says, yes, but which wife are you from? He said, which wife are you from? He's a very sharp Jew. So she said, I'm a descendant of Avraham Avinu. 318 slaves. And he said, listen, this is the din. What was he trying to say? If you'd asked me about Avraham Avinu, if I could tell you I come from Avraham Avinu, which we do come, even those of us that joined the folk, I always call Bnei Avraham, I'd say the chesed of Avraham, the kindness of Avraham. Avraham put kindness into the world. That's what we have in our spiritual genetics. Titan chesed, chesed l'Avraham, titan emes yakov, chesed l'Avraham. Avraham is the symbol of chesed. He put in to each one of us chesed. He went through such things. He happened to have 318 slaves. What is the Gemara trying to tell us? 318 slaves. Says of Tzadik HaKoyin, a fantastic thought. Eliezer, we have another Eliezer Nach. There's Eliezer by Moshe Rabbeinu's son. And he called him the name Eliezer. Why? Elokei Avi Be'ezri V'yatzilein Mecher Parv. Not at the same Hebrew. The God of my God of my forefather is with me, and he saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. A whole story how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to escape from Pharaoh and not get killed, not get guillotined. So in order to remember that chesed that Hashem did with him, he called the son Eliezer, which means the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, God helps me. Keli Ezer. It's the same name. What do we learn from Avraham Avinu? What is it that we learn from Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu and Sarah went through such trials and tribulations. For how many years they were in Zeicha to have children? And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brought them with their tefillas. He brought in children into the world. That was Klal Yisrael. One thing you learn by Avraham Avinu, what Eliezer learned by Avraham Avinu? Never give up. Never think that this is the end. Always beseech the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Always beg him and always ask him. No matter how difficult, I can tell you stories that we know of people that were in such difficult situations and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brought Yeshuas. They brought all kinds of salvations, all kinds of things that we don't know how it happened. 318. Yish. You all know what the word Yish means? Yish means to give up hope, to despair. Let's take the word Yish. Yud is how much? David? 10? Vav is how much? David, I finished. Okay, 6. So how much that though? 16. Aleph is 17. And Shin is how much? 300. 317. One less than Eliezer. Eliezer is one above Yish. Says of Tzadik, the Torah is telling us Eliezer represents Avraham Avinu's unstinting stubbornness that always to do the Ratzon of Shem, no matter how difficult it is, never give up hope. No matter how difficult it is, keep going. That's what you're saying. You know, you're telling me I gave up hope on this wood. I never gave up hope on this wood. You know why I didn't give up hope? Because I come from Avraham Avinu, who had 318 slaves. And that's, what does that mean? Eliezer, one above Yish. There's no Yish by me. We told them, but listen, this is what the Chazal said. But what the Gemara is telling us is that in our spiritual genetics, besides the tremendous chesed, which we see here, we see in many communities, the chesed that Klal Yisrael does, but it also means the tenacity to keep going in anything that there is in life, to feel that you can keep doing and you can keep going, and a person can really bring himself out of any situation. We have many struggles in Ruchnius. It's not easy to be what they call an Erlich Yid, an upright Jew, a Jew that does what he's supposed to do. To learn Torah is not, I can't imagine the struggle. I can't imagine the struggle it is for a person who never really had the foundations of Hebrew, the foundations of Torah, to start learning. Yet we met so many people here. Ashreichem, that you've done such a, but it gets sometimes difficult. All of a sudden you hear my shir, you know what's flying. You get, well, this is not good. I wish Rabbi Yeager wouldn't have given such a shir. How can I do? but the you work on it, you go over to one of the Chavei Kohelet. What did Rabbi Yeager mean by this? What did the Rosh Kohelet mean? I didn't understand exactly what this meant. You know, tenacity, keep going, keep going. The Gemara tells us, that Rabbi Yosef, famous Rabbi Yosef in the Gemara, the Yumadat Sarta, on the day of Shavuos, what did he say? He used to say every year, this would seem like this is a common thing that he did every year. If the Liyadu tells him, make for me a third-born calf, a good steak, a good piece of meat, something delicious. Ilav ha'yoyim de kagaram, that's what this day that brought about Matan Torah, kama Yosef ika v'shuka. How many Yosefs, names of Yosefs, how many Yosefs would be running around in the marketplace? You know what he said? Sandy said so beautifully. He said, the Reish Kohelet and the other members here, they have such great minds. They could have been also part of the workplace, but they decided this is the right thing to do. Right, Sandy? Is that what he said? Sandy, right? So this is what Rabbi Yosef said, if not for this, I'll be, another Joe in the street, another Joe. A person, what's Yosef mean? I'm just using this as an allegorical sense. Yosef means to add, to go ahead and be moisif, like you learned by Chanukah. Moisif v'hoilach, to keep adding, moisif, to add. The nature of a human being, especially as a Jew, is to do, to conquer. Jews are the brightest, Jews want the intellectual, the greatest minds, the greatest discoveries in the world. We don't have to mention their names, but we know who they are. The greatest minds, and sometimes, unfortunately, people whose mind, Karl Marx, who destroyed the world, who destroyed Judaism for millions of people because of what he did in Russia, because of his communism. You know what they did. So Baruch Hashem, it fell apart, and Jews were able to come out. They had no idea what people, one generation before, who were the brightest, greatest Lamdanim, the Russian Lamdanim, White Russia, and all of a sudden they didn't even know God existed. We have a boy in our yeshiva, now he's a cipher. He's in Philadelphia, Taka, the Russian pilot. He didn't know that he was a Jew. So one day he went to a movie, an anti-Semitic movie. It was about Jews, and he came home, him and his brother started making fun of the Jews, and his mother took them and said, you know, take it easy, I want to tell you something, you're Jewish. And it was a shock to him. And he became a different person. He looks like me now, even more than it's Hasidish. I'm Hasidish at heart, but not the way he looks the part. And the Rebbetzin and I had this bliss of walking him down to the chuppah. He didn't have his mother, he couldn't get his mother out of Russia. He got married to a wonderful girl, and he received 500 relatives in one night. In one night, five, the famous Malachim, the Rebbe Mishpat, the Malachim, I'm sure, unbelievable. This is the greatest minds of people, Jews, the inventors, and this and that. That's what a person wants to do in intellect, in financial, materialistic, whatever it is. A person always, a Jew always wants to gain more, to do more, to do more. And all of a sudden, Yeshua says, you know, you love high name at the Kagarin. If not this day that brought about Torah, that brought my learning Torah, I would be in. We would buy sense of Yosef, of additions. This shook, I worry about the marketplace. All I worry about is the financial, what's doing in the, I'd be looking at the stock market every day. I wouldn't be looking at what I could do in the Beis Medrash. And we know this is where a Jew is supposed to be. In Matan Torah, there's a psukim that deal with the receiving of the Torah. When Rabbi Yehuda told me there was not too many sperm there, I didn't realize there's no sperm here. So in the Chumash it says, it describes Matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah. It says over there, I wrote down the post in case it would be no Chumash and I was right. There's a description of Matan Torah before the terms of forgiveness were said and after it's said. And before it says, the Torah describes it like this: the kol ha'am, the kol vehi koilos, there was thunder, uvrakim, lightning, v'onam kaved al ha'har, a heavy cloud, smoke on the mountain, The kol shofar chazak ma'od, and it was a powerful blast of the shofar. Kol shofar chazak ma'od. Those are the things that. Then what does it say after? Not there. The kol ha'am royim. Everybody saw. It's not only they heard, they saw es ha'koilus, again the thunder, ve'es ha'lepidim, the torches, the flames, ve'es kol ha'shofar, ve'es ha'har ha'ashen. They heard the shofar and they saw the smoke coming out of the cloud. All of a sudden the Torah changes something. Before Mount Torah it says that, you know what was there? There was lightning. Suddenly, after Mount Torah, it doesn't say anything about lightning. It says there were torches, there were flames. Torches, why were there no torches beforehand? And why was there no lightning afterwards? What does it mean? So I want to share with you something that I was makabel from my rabbi, my rabbis. That what it means is like this. What's the basic difference between lightning and a flame, a torch? Lightning is brilliant. It can light up the whole sky. A torch only lights up a certain area. That's it. That's all you can see. You know? In the room, the place you are. But lightning all of a sudden appears and it disappears. A torch keeps going, keeps burning. That's one basic difference. Another difference is that lightning, we have no control of lightning. We can't bring it, we can't handle it, we can't do anything with it. A torch we could. So even though it might not be the same intense light, but we're in control. Before the Torah was given, there was a Torah in Shemayim, in heavens. We had no access to it. We couldn't give it to our children. We didn't know it. After Matan Torah, after the receiving of the Torah, Torah became part of us. It's a flame. And the more you're on fire, the more you are that torch. You're burning with the love of Torah. A woman has that tremendous love of Torah. The Gemara tells us how a woman gets such merit for helping her husband, learn Torah, that she goes ahead and she tries to strengthen his desire to learn Torah. And she wants it. It's important to her. She gets this. When you help a Jew put on tefillin, or you, I'm not taking away from anything that, or don't anyone read into what I'm saying, but when you help someone, it's tremendous. I don't think you get the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. You get chesed. When you help a person, you have a choice. Somebody comes to you, I'd like you to give money, I only have a certain limited amount. There are Russian Jews that need tefillin, there are Iranian Jews that need mezuzahs. What do you give? I don't know. That's your decision. I don't know. It's both for some. But when you help Torah, a woman gets the schus of Torah. Even though a woman is not formally commanded to learn Torah, she gets the same exact reward as a husband, because she's helping her husband, she's helping her children, she's helping the koilim. I heard a story today, I didn't see the references often, but I want to share with you a story about someone told me, his name I think is Ephraim Strong, please remind me, an unbelievable story with the Mir Yeshiva. I was so taken with the story, he says, I hope I don't burn you with the story. I said, you probably will, but I'll listen anyway. And I tell you, I said to him, I want to thank you. I'm going to come back to Yeshiva and say over this story publicly. Not only to the boys in Yeshiva, but to all the people that come down with us. Unbelievable. I'm sure many of you know it. A woman gets a Schav Torah. After we receive the Torah, it's part and parcel of us. We can handle it. Handle it means not only we can learn it, we give it over to our children. We give it over to the next generation. That's what the Torah says. It's not lightning anymore. When the Torah came out, it was lightning. It changed around the whole world. But we don't see that anymore. But it lit into each one of us a small flame. And some of us are unfortunately don't able to go ahead and realize it's within us. And some of us, the people that are here, take that flame and we go ahead and we are able to go ahead and transmit it to others. We make others excited. We make our children excited. We make our neighbors, our parents. They see the difference in our lives. That's what the Torah is. The Torah makes such a difference in our lives. You all know Shavuos is coming up this week. Shavuos is not a day on the calendar. It's not a date. Every holiday is a date on the calendar. Shavuos has nothing to do with dates on the calendar. It's 50 days from the second day of Pesach, that's it. It happens to come to our calendar always above. But the Gemara tells us sometimes it could be the fifth of Sivan, if both months are longer months, 30 days. If they're both 29, it comes out, it comes out the seventh. And the way we have it, one month of 29, one month of 30th, it comes out the sixth. But it's really not a calendar date. It's 50 days. What does this represent? It represents one thing. It represents, and interesting, let me point out, all the Yomim Tovim, which one do I know what that is, are called Shabbos. In one way or another, they are called Shabbos. Shabbos Soim, Mimachras Shabbos Pesach. Shavuos is not called a Shabbos at all. Why? Because the basic difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos is a gift that a God gives us. We have no choice. It comes every 7 days. As much as we don't see it, we know, but we believe it. I always point out, and Menashe was telling me, I mentioned it to his boys when he brought it here, that the concept of 7 days only comes because the Torah says it's a seventh day of Shabbos. Every week is a cycle of 7 days, right? Shabbos is like we have, I don't know if you have it, the Long Island Railroad, Lavdom. You don't ring the bell and say stop at Woodmere, at Inwood, it stops no matter what, even if there's nobody on the train. Shabbos is a station of time. But Yom Tov is something that we bring about the Kedusha. Shavuos is the epitome of something that we bring about that we count. It's not dependent upon a calendar day, because Shavuos is what we create ourselves. And with that, I want to end off a few remarks that's so important. We're going to go through the preparations of Shavuos, of being together. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. We're going to work on ourselves not to be miyayish, that no matter how difficult the struggle is, to realize ana nafshi shoyik sadis yahavitz, that the Rebbeinu Shem himself put into each one of us a Torah. To realize that we have the Torah in our hands, that torch, and we can give it over to our children, to others. But it doesn't end the day after Shavuos. It doesn't end. This year, what do we have? I made a bracha before. That's great. What do we have? We have Motzei Shabbos. And Motzei Shabbos is Yom Tov, and therefore we have to make Havdalah, and we have to make Kiddush, and we make it very unusual on one cup of wine. It's called, the way we put it, Yak Nahaz. The Kohen will tell you how you do with the candles. It's a little difficulty how you do the Havdalah with a candle. I think not even sell, like everything else. I always tell the Bachim, a few years from now, you're not going to have to do B'dikas Chametz. It's going to be a service that does B'dikas Chametz for you. Somebody told me this year, you can buy 10 pieces of bread for B'dikas Chametz and put it down. You're going to have to go ahead and prepare 10 pieces of bread. So they have a Yak Nahaz candle. What does Yak Nahaz stand for? You make a bor for your guffin, the wine. You make Kiddush. You make a bor merei eish. And you make Havdalah. And you make a Shechiyanu. Frek, that's a common word, right? Frek the Rashbam. The Rashbam asks, what happened to Psamim? How come we don't take Psamim? Why haven't we take Psamim this Motzei Shabbos? Every Motzei Shabbos, we take Psamim. We take smelling, what's it called again? Spices to smell, we make a burn named Psamim. How come we don't take this coming Motzei Shabbos? So the Rashbam says, there's no need to take. Because what's the purpose of the psalms? This is something fantastic. Why do we take psalms with Shabbos? Does anybody know? David, I'm picking on you.
To extend the sweetness of Shabbos.
So what's God doing with smelling? What is smelling Shabbos extended? It's not good enough to not it. The other times you agree. You know why you take psalms, David? Because you make a bracha psalm. You know why you make a bracha psalm? The Gemara says like this. You say every day in Pesukei Dezimra, Kol Haneshama Tehalel Kohaluka. I don't know if David's ever going to speak to me again. Kol Haneshama Tehalel Kohaluka. Every neshama, every breath, or every soul will make a bracha, will praise Hashem. So Gemara says, hey, what is something that the neshama receives pleasure from? What is something the neshama receives pleasure? Haviyoyme zu reya, that smell. Smell is a ruchnius bigger sense. We have five senses, at least when I grew up, there were five senses, right? There were five senses. And it says, b'shem of Pinchas Karitzer, that, this is just an addition, the shame to say what I'm going to say, that in the sin, original sin of Adam and Eve, right, we're not going to judge to blame Eve, we take Adam takes the blame too, they sinned with every one of their senses. They saw the fruit, they tasted it, they touched it, he listened to his wife, but they didn't smell. Smell is pure. A doctor told me the purest sense in the body is the sense of smell, that if you smell something, it goes directly to your brain where the neshama is. Right? Anyone doctor wants to argue, that's what I heard. But the sense is something, it's neshama. There's even an opinion, which we don't go with, that even if one is missing the sense of olfactory, I don't remember what it's called, somebody's missing the sense of smell, can still make a bracha, because the neshama gets undone. Therefore, the Rishonim say, the reason you take someone on a Matzoi Shabbos on a Saturday night is because what do we have on Shabbos that's unusual? A neshama yisera, an extra neshama, right? The sensitivity to neshama. And all of a sudden comes, as the Bachum and Yeshiva call the Saturday night blues, they say. You lose it, you feel down, so you want to revive it. So you smell something, my neshama feels good. That's why we take psalmim. So Rashbam says, this year you don't have to worry about it, because you lose your neshama yisera of Shabbos, and you get one from Yom Tov. You understand? And what's it said? You lose the neshama yisera, the extra neshama, the sensitivity of the neshama from Shabbos, and you go into Yom Tov, and you're able to gain back the neshama yisera. So Tosfos, right? That's on the other side of the page. And you know, there's a Rashi and there's a Tosfos. So Tosfos says, if so, that there's a neshama yisera of Yom Tov, so why don't you take psalmim every Matzah Yom Tov? We don't take psalmim on Matzah Yom Tov. The Arishonim say they do. But our meaning is not to. It doesn't seem that we do it. We don't do it. Why don't you take psalmim Matzah Yom Tov? Every Matzah Yom Tov, take psalmim. You lose your neshama yisera after Yom Tov. So therefore, Tosfos argues, he says, there's no neshama yisera of Yom Tov. Right? There is no neshama yisera. So why don't you take psalmim this Matzah Shabbos? He says you have the pure food of Yom Tov, which your wife prepared with such great kavanas, she put in so much work into it, that it's ruchnius, the food. That's what my Rebbetzin always says about her food. It's ruchnius, there's no calories. The only one that has calories for it is for myself. So she gives out to all the boys around my table. To me, I see all of a sudden what happened, but okay, this is an old argument we have every Shabbos. But you don't have to take, the place says as though it's there's no neshama yisera in Yom Tov. So how do we answer up for the Rashbam? So Big Dayan found in a sefer called Emuna B'Tochen, they say it's from the Ramban, Nachmanides, that he says, no problem, you know why you don't take after Yom Tov? Because the neshama yisera of Yom Tov never leaves. It's always there. You take from Shabbos to Yom Tov because Shabbos leaves. It's a gift. Then you lose it after Shabbos. Yom Tov, you don't lose it. You keep it forever. So both the Tzfasemis on Shas and the Avnei Nezer say, why is it that? They both discovered this Emunah B'Tochen. You see their love of the early commentaries. A sefer that used to be printed so small, so little, they went through the Rishon, they had to learn it. Why is it that the neshama yisera of Yom Tov doesn't leave? They said a fantastic thought which is pertaining to each and one of us here. Shabbos is a gift. In America we say easy come, easy go. Not Shabbos, Chas Shom, but unfortunately we forget. Shabbos should have an effect on us. We have to try to work on Shabbos, but sometimes in the middle of the week we forget what Shabbos is about. Yom Tov, we bring about the Yom Tov. Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, by sanctifying the new moon as we do this week, however it works nowadays with the Gal, but we sanctify the new moon, we bring about that sanctity, that Kedusha. Something that you do on your own, something that you do with your own hands, with your own effort, stays with you. You know, people who win the lottery, right? The Rebbe always says, whenever you're tzaddik, make sure you buy a lottery ticket. This way the yeshiva is not going to suffer. You'll have it. It hasn't worked yet, but you have to, the Ramah says, somebody's a tzaddik, there's a schus there. So we buy a lottery ticket. Maybe you have to make some kind of shtadlus. People who win the lotteries, they say, they lose their money usually. Because they got it for free. You work hard for a living. And I'm sure all the people that work hard for a living are shaking their heads, right? Please tell my son that. Right? You work hard for a living, then it stays with you. We work hard for Yom Tov. A Yom Tov has to stay with us. That's why there's something called Issuchah. In the Gemara it says, Chayiv Adam Leta'ah, I'll say in English. A person has to purify himself on a Yom Tov. He has to purify himself on Yom Tov, which means go to mikveh. It's not really pertaining nowadays, even though many people go to mikveh. It was at the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Goldschmidt said that they used to go to the Beis HaMikdash, Karbonis, so they had to purify themselves to go to the mikveh. But Chayev Adam Letar Atzur Rebbe, the person has to purify himself regularly. It could be read on just in an esoteric way. A person has to cleanse himself in the Yom Tov. The Yom Tov itself has to cleanse him. The Yom Tov itself is the cleansing process. When does a person become tahor, clean from the mikveh? When he comes out from the mikveh, the Kesher Mishnah says. The main cleansing of the Yom Tov is what you do after the Yom Tov. You will attire yourself in the regal. The regal has to bring about a change in our perspective, a greater love of Torah. Come to the Kollel, when you can learn the whole night, you can't. That's not wrong. There were many good Jews who did not stay up at night. That's not necessary. Rizka Rav used to take a nap at Pesach. He says it's more important to be up the night of the Seder than Shuls. But that's the minute we do it. It's a beautiful thing, right? You know why, the Shul is called, they say Bahab. They say Bahab. You know, you say Bahab after Pesach, Monday, Thursday. The reason was because we're afraid in the Dayan Yom Tov, maybe there was some breaking of boundaries, that the genders mixed together in a way that shouldn't be. Shavuos, we don't do it, we shouldn't have asked. Because Shavuos is about Torah. You have no time to do it. You're sitting and learning in the Kollel the whole day. You don't have time to do anything wrong. You're sitting and learning the whole time. Right? That's what we do. It's the greatest chus that we have. You don't have to worry about Baha'u. The regal has to bring about Torah. It's what you do with the regal. It's not just, okay, how was your Yom Tov? It was very nice. It's over. It's not over. It has to make an impression. That neshami yaseiris. So lastly, that means I have a lot of neshami yaseiris? Yes. And the Baruch Hu says, how many do you have? What's the difference? How many do you have? I never saw neshama. You never saw neshama. I'll tell you one thing. You have a greater sensitivity when you go through Yom Tov. And especially the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which we count to, which we bring it about. It's not called a Shabbos, because we create, in Chazal it says, you say every day the Pasim Shema, Vasisem Oysam, you should do them. It's written without a vav, and it could be read, the Chazal say, Vasisa Atem, you create yourself, you are creating yourself by taking upon yourself more mitzvahs, to more Torah, more Yerushalayim, more fear of heaven, more awe of heaven. You are creating yourself. May the Baruch Hashem bless, give bracha to this wonderful community, this wonderful Kollel with its leaders, with its Reisha Kollels, and their special Rebbetzin. And you should be Zaycha to the Emes Dika Torah, Hashem Oiz, La'amo Yitin. The Baruch Hashem gives us strength. The Gemara says it means Torah. Torah is the real strength. Hashem Oiz, La'amo Yitin, Hashem Yevarech, Es Amo B'Shalom. May we see real Shalom in Yitz Hashem. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.
Beg your indulgence just for a moment. First of all, a tremendous, tremendous Yeshiva. There's a Shiva in the Rebbetzin. for an extraordinary, extraordinary few days. They should always have such siyata deshmaya to be able to affect people in the way they have this on this trip. I just want to mention, first of all, we will be davening ma'ariv here. In this side of the room, there are ma'ariv cards there in about 2 minutes. There's still a buffet, a dessert buffet in the back. You're welcome to enjoy that for those who are not davening. We also want to take this opportunity to thank our sponsors again. Those that are silver sponsors and above, please pick up a book on your way out. The book of Rav Shlomo, about Rav Shlomo Freifeld, the father of the Rebbetzin. And we do want to thank Rabbi Yaakov Smith, who made the trip here tonight. Rabbi Yaakov Smith, a lot of the creativity of this weekend, took a tremendous amount of creativity, comes from the Torah Marketing Initiative. We thank him for joining us. And we also want to wish everybody a wonderful Shavuos. Please keep in mind that we will have many shiurim and programs over the night of Shavuos, so look out for an email in that regard. Thank you so much. Have a good evening, and we'll daven ma'ariv now on the side. Thank you. Thank you.